For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is the man himself who the entire internet was talking about this weekend, the man that killed McDonald's, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
I'm feeling better than everybody thinks I'm feeling. We need to get ahead of that. I have had too many people, including you, that tried to do a wellness check, thought I was going to be like in a hospital bed. People don't know this, Blake. I've done stupid eating challenges like this before, so this was kind of par for the course. I'm feeling okay, though. It was a really fun weekend. I had a blast, and I'm glad that everyone had fun following along with the stupidity that I went through on Saturday.
Well, here's the truth and why it hit with so many people. Because everybody that plays fantasy, you know, if the person comes in last, we always joke about these type of scenarios that you actually did. And yeah, Nobody really does them. But this Saturday, in case anybody missed it, you went to your local McDonald's and you had to eat your way out. We're not going to explain all the thing. If you haven't seen it, you just need to go see it. But you had to stay in there for 24 hours and you had to eat your way out. And you know what's funny? Because not only on this show do you not listen to me, but when I tweeted you,
I did listen to you
at minimum. You needed down three big breakfasts with hotcakes, and you did not listen to me. I have not been this big my entire life to not know how to coast you through eating a shitload of McDonald's. But
okay,
you did the thing that I thought you wouldn't do. I told a group of buddies of mine, I said, he said he's ordering 17 hash browns. And we had an over-under of how many that you would get through. Okay, I picked 17. I was the only person in my group that picked 17 because I'm like, you don't understand Joe. He's not going to bitch out on this.
Oh,
he's
no.
Gonna do all 17.
I mean, I showed up. You think that I was anyone who clearly doesn't know me.
Well, I'm not going to stop. The advantage of knowing you more than other people. But yeah. Literally, a lead chef that's in the group text of us said, I guarantee you 30 minutes in that those things are going to stick to the paper. I swear to God. And I didn't warn you because you were already gung-ho about the hash browns. Okay. But take us through your journey here of dominating McDonald's.
So to be perfectly clear here, you're a former offensive lineman, and you're not the only other former offensive lineman who was in my ear trying to give me advice. So Sean, my co-host for Hack City and former college roommate, future roommate in a month about when I moved back to New Jersey, he had convinced me, based on the clear disparity and how low the calories were for the hash browns compared to the amount of minutes it was going to take off, it was a no-brainer. So I listened to him. I mean, like, God forbid, it made a lot of sense, but I didn't account for just the grease. I didn't account for the fact that, like you mentioned, it stuck to the paper, it melted, it turned into a soggy mess. So that was definitely the big mistake.
I didn't think about that. A guy who's a chef that is a friend of ours, he's like, oh, man, the hash browns are not going to go over well. And none of us thought about it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. But sure as hell, he was right.
I thought that they would have gotten soggy, but the way that they had mushed the way that they did was not anything that I accounted for. So I will admit that that was a mistake. I did still eat two of those big breakfasts, and that was definitely the smart move that I went with.
Well, here's the thing, okay? I cannot believe that I did not know that this was going on because I had other people texting me, Blake, how are you not reacting to Joe DeLeon's viral tweet? And I'm like, so the first thing that I thought was, oh, fuck. He done got clipped again. We're about to get in a fight, another fight for our lives. But yet, it was you dominating it. Let me ask you this. In a normal city, knowing what you know now, if your life depended on it, okay, how would you do it again? But secondly, how many big breakfasts would you dominate?
If I did it again, I mean, that was, again, that was, the big breakfast was probably the easiest thing that I did. And I was stunned because it was so calorically dense. I probably would have tried to eat four of those, and I probably would have just chilled. I skipped out on the hash browns. I wouldn't touch, and I don't know if I can even touch another hash brown, even if it's from Dunkin', even if it's at a diner or sit-down restaurant. I don't think I could eat another one of those. Probably would have done four. Probably would have eaten the same amount of apples, and I think I probably would have eaten more of the McChickens. The McChickens were easy. I was surprised by how easy the McChickens were.
Everybody was giving you bad advice, too, by saying, get the Filet-O-Fish.
Oh, my God. But wait, do you like Filet-O-Fish, by the way?
Can I be honest? Number one, I've never had it. Maybe once. Okay.
I had it once by accident. I thought I ordered a McChicken, and I ate, and I bit into it, and it was the biggest mistake of my life. That is, like, the one thing I will never eat.
Well, I'm going to say, I'm a big seafood guy. Father's Day this weekend.
But not fast food seafood. Like, I love seafood, too.
That's where I was going. But I tried to convince you to do a McGangbang, and you would not do it.
What is that again, by the way, for some
clarity
here?
It's a hot and spicy and double cheeseburger fused into one. It is electric because you got the hot and spicy, okay, and you got, you know, the salt of the hamburger, stuff like that. I was trying to convince you to do what most legends...
No. You wanted me to fail. You wanted me to not.
You literally would have taken off an hour and a half in one sandwich.
Yeah, but we got to talk about, there is still some strategy to this. And so when you already make one mistake early on in the game, you got to be smart the rest of the game. You can't go around turning the ball over every other drive. You got to be a little careful. You know, you got to be a little conservative if you're playing with the lead. And that's what I did. I'm not jumping into mixed sandwiches together. I didn't know what that was going to do to my stomach.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But look, man, let me just say this, because we got a lot we got to get into here.
Toss brings up.
I'm going to get to that in just a second. Hold on. I literally have it bookmarked here. Hold on.
Okay.
I am proud of you, okay, that you were man enough to do this. Okay, because
thank you. I appreciate
a lot of people would have backed out of this. And I got to admit, man, you're a champion for it. So I show my wife this, okay? It's Father's Day weekend, all right? And I said, Joe's going viral. Like, this is crazy. And I show her. And I could see the look on her face. She's like, don't you dare fucking ever get yourself into this situation. So I got to admit, I don't think that I'm going to ever do it. But if I have to, okay, you are a champion in doing it. But what are you going to do? The question that I've seen a lot of people do, and you've had a lot of people, like, did you see somebody called it the McDaleones?
Yeah, I'm forgetting the name of the show, but he's I had gone on their pod before. It's an LSU show on the College Football Dogs website. He's right. A nice guy. I'm blanking on what his name is, but Cole. McDaleones, though, was the guy.
McDaleones was really good. I think the funniest comment that I saw, though, was from NFL wide receiver, former NFL wide receiver, Torrey Smith said, Joe, .. these motherfuckers aren't your friend. They're trying to get you to, like, die. I thought that was pretty good. But can I tell you my personal favorite out of all of these of people that tweeted you? It comes from no other than, who's your boy on Yahoo? I'm sorry. I can't find it. Matthew Berry.
Oh, no, he's NBC.
Okay.
No, he's not. I don't know if he's NBC. He's got his own site now. He used to be with ESPN.
He goes, hashtag fantasy life, LOL. So, like, everybody in mainstream media, everybody, fans were really loved this. I'm proud of you, though, man. That's awesome that you did that.
Yeah, to kind of put a bow on this, that I had no idea that this was going to end up being as big as it was, just because, like, the reality, and for anyone who had been following me previously knows that I'm very authentic. And for anyone who talks about, like, oh, what, you know, what leads to success in media and all that stuff, We look at Pat McAfee, he's a great example. He just acts like himself for 3 hours a day, and
no
people
doubt
like that. I just wanted to have fun. I had no idea that this many people were going to be
invested. The way that we've grown is because we act like ourselves here for an hour or 3 hours a week, which is longer during the college football season. But Alex Toss says, need Blake to do the same challenge at Raisin Cane's. Let me just say this. I'm going to be careful on what I say because Cane's is now a very good friend of Blake Ruffino and the Ruffino family. Get ready for August. But nevertheless, I told you about what's going on with me and Cane's. Come on.
Yep.
Okay. I will say, though, Cane's will be definitely harder than McDonald's.
Well, it's a scale. You know, there's a scale here. We would adjust the
chicken.
Time.
Are you going to get 30 minutes per chicken nugget? Or
yeah,
or
I don't know tender? I don't know if there's like anything on the Cane's menu that we could get like.
No, it's just chicken, bread, coleslaw, fries.
The key here that I had was I was able to do the apples, and I ate a disgusting amount of them. I ate 23 of them. So there was some way to create a buffer while also still doing some damage. And also, the apples were probably the most necessary thing for me to be able to clear my stomach.
What's worse than all this? That you ate all of that McDonald's, but the truth is that you ate, it's like if you're in one sitting and you ate 23 apples
No. Well, the packets are five slices and they're thin. So if we got to like, if
how
we were
many
to guess,
apples do you think that you actually ate?
Probably five, which isn't that much. That's a little more than your more fiber than you're probably supposed to eat on a daily basis.
Could you imagine in one sitting, like go into your fridge or go into your kitchen, excuse me, get an apple and eat five of them in a row? That's what you did.
Well, okay. Well, here's something that some might find disturbing. And some might also be shocked by this part of it. I have a very strict diet. I'm very restricted on how I eat because it's been a struggle to try and lose the weight that I played football at in college. So at times I would eat three apples a day. I was doing that for like a couple months straight because I was reworking my diet and I was trying to get more fruit and I like eating apples. So no, five isn't that daunting. That was why I had so much ease eating them. I almost wonder if I should have tried to eat more of those, but Cane's definitely doesn't have anything on the menu like that. I'm looking at their menu. It's all tenders and bread and fries.
And Cane sauce, which we can't do Cane's. All right. So we do have a super chat here, Joe. Let's get to what we need to discuss.
Yeah.
We are going to get to Les Miles suing LSU. I'll talk about that obviously a lot tonight here at 7. Florida State deep dive. Joe, I think that we're probably going to be in the same place on everything about this, ironically.
We'll find out.
We agree on DJU. We agree on the talent at FSU and Norvell. Everything that we're going to hinge on DJU. Okay. Nevertheless, we'll do a Florida State deep dive here. Les Miles suing LSU. We have conferences, Joe, going to be giving up naming rights to get more money for their schools. We'll touch on that.
Hilarious. And
if we have time at the end, bro, this Deion, I believe this Deion thing. Because he's shown me so much of himself by already like quote tweeting dudes that are not on their team anymore. But yet you don't want me to believe that players, seven of them, by the way, who talked about leaving, that the concert was a big deal.
I got to be honest. I don't know how – it's not great that he was making the team do this if it's true. But I also don't think it's as bad as it sounds. We'll wait to talk about that at the end.
Well, he says he's partial. He says he's there for other reasons other than his sons, only that it is about his sons. I mean, let's just
That's a fair way of putting it.
Just be honest with what the situation is. So, all right, we got lots to discuss. Cody, we are not missing your super chat. We'll get to that when we get to Les Miles. But so many things that we got to get to. Let's get into them now. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all those groups. If you're on Facebook, share to all of those social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe. Let's talk about our good friends over at betonline.ag. Joe's going to eat another McDouble during the break. So hit the like, hit the share. We'll be back next. Stay with us.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back! You know, Joe, I was just thinking during the break, you ate all that McDonald's this weekend, and I felt bad about eating some spaghetti on Father's Day. And finally taking my
car.
Yeah, I know. But my cheat meal was a cookie. Okay. I still ate all meat. Do you know what a hush puppy is?
Yeah, I know what a hush puppy is, yeah.
Okay. I had six of them this weekend.
I think it's a little more than a cheat meal.
Yeah. To you know, just break it. Ironically, didn't gain any weight, ironically enough. But it's funny how we view things sometimes.
Right.
Not going to be funny on, though, how probably you and I look at Florida State. Joe, I got to admit something. Look, after Florida State missed the playoffs last year and after they lost the game to Tennessee in the college baseball College World Series on the check swing, I feel like Florida State might be a little bit cursed.
And I think that DJU might – just a little bit.
I think DJU might add to this curse a little bit. Where are you with Florida State? Because I could see them being a playoff team. I also could see them a team on the outside looking in because, Joe, of what their quarterback situation is like. I kick it over to you, though, to start this off. What do you think about Florida State this upcoming season?
I think that Florida State's probably one of the most complicated teams to really predict what they can accomplish in 2024 because – they had nine guys get drafted. Nine. That is a ridiculously big accomplishment, but that's a lot of production that they have to replace. We're talking about Jared Verse. We're talking about Braden Fisk, Trey Benson, who was one of the best running backs in the country, just from an impact standpoint. We're losing two of the top receivers in Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. Your starting quarterback in Jordan Travis. There is a lot that has to be replaced. But at the same time, Florida State lives in the transfer portal. They're one of the best teams in the transfer portal. They're probably the only team that we can see that finds success in rebuilding their roster in the portal when they need to do so.
And they've evaluated very well in the portal. Yes. They've been the best evaluators in the portal as well.
They have found value when they've needed to. So I am optimistic, and I trust Mike Norvell with the schedule that they have in 2024, that they will reach the ACC championship game in 2024. But as you mentioned, a lot of that falls on the shoulders of DJU. And I'm not going to do this. I'm going to try to be positive for once. I tend to be really aggressively negative about some of the quarterbacks that I don't trust. DJU finds himself on the very edge of that list. I give him the benefit of the doubt that for how long he's played football, that maybe this could be a good year for him. But it's fair to say, folks, Florida State fans, that DJU might not be good enough to get you where you want to get to because he has been so shaky and streaky throughout his career as a quarterback in college.
Name a big game he's won outside of that Notre Dame. Was it? Yeah, it was Notre Dame game. No, he lost. Oh,
they lost. They lost that game.
Name a big win that he has.
I'll look right now. Actually, that's a great question.
I don't know in the primetime lights that DJU ever shows up. You know, Joe, we talked about last year at length, very big length, that Washington versus Oregon State game, if you remember. We talked about Oregon State when they played Utah. I think he's been shaky, like you said. And The question now becomes, Joe, what do, number two things, really. Is this going to be the place that he takes the next step? Like, I mean, like, he's been to three schools, and it's not like he's been to bad offensive, like, play callers. Now, you could say Clemson and Dabo, but yeah, but it's some of the bigger names that have been in college sports and college coaching. I think it completely hinges on him. Completely. Because I think they got all the other pieces that are around that's going to make them a playoff team. I do think that they're a playoff team. Okay. Like talent wise, like talent v talent, I think that they can be a playoff team. But Joe, I have no trust in their quarterback situation. Zero. Now, in the ACC, that still means that they could be 10-2 and make a playoff. I'm not, I mean, could he get them there? Okay. Maybe. All right. I'm not going to say that he couldn't, but I just don't think that this quarterback evaluation was the best. Like, I really don't. And
well, I don't think they had a lot of options. You know, I think
no, they had a lot options.
Of hope. There was a lot of hope. It sounded like, and Florida State fans, feel free to correct me because I'm sure I'm going to get corrected on this, but it felt like that they really wanted Cam Ward and they lost out on those sweepstakes. That it, for him, it was Miami or go to the NFL, and he didn't really want to consider going to Florida State. It didn't really seem like that they were in the running for a lot of the big quarterbacks, which is odd. You would think that a lot of the quarterbacks that were in the portal would look and see, oh, Florida State has found ways to be successful, and this could be a team that puts a lot of really good pieces around me. The pieces around DJU are great. They did a great job of, you know, getting Malik Benson and Roy Dell Williams and turning into the Alabama Crimson Tide, the southern, more southern version of the Alabama Crimson Tide with all the Alabama players that they added. But we bring up a good point here. What has he done to like really show he lives up to the expectations that we had for him after that Notre Dame game when everybody hyped him up?
I don't know. I legitimately don't know. I think that there's a couple of things that you could say. Now, we're not, you know, we don't get into a lot of recruiting here. Obviously, it's recruiting at the high school level. I mean, Joe, historically, kids that are quarterbacks, they commit earlier, they're in your class earlier, they normally are in school earlier, and early enrollee. So, look, I think that you can point there. The thing is that they're going to have to probably do this again. Okay, like I don't think that they're out of the woodwork in portal QBs. Okay, but there does come a point where I look at them and say, I think that they have all the pieces to be very successful, like you mentioned. But now the question becomes post Jordan Travis and with a shaky quarterback that we've seen, Joe, could they lose three games?
I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far because I think, and I thought about this. This was something that I really was trying to unpack if that was on the spectrum for them. If that's that would be the worst case scenario. I just don't think that the rest of the ACC, except for a couple of teams that we've highlighted, especially the ones on their schedule, are necessarily up to par enough that they would lose three games. So
having
their schedule,
a quarterback and a bad decision maker though, puts you even par very quickly though.
But they're so defensively freaky with the talent, you know, with the athletes that they have. Patrick Payton is probably going to be a first round pick. Marvin Jones Jr. I have spoken very highly of.
We both have
really on good the in show. The spring game. That defense is going to be unbelievable. They bring back Cypress, Ventrell Cypress, who was a pretty good DB for them last year, who transferred from UVA two seasons ago. Their defense is unbelievable. Who on their schedule is really going to scare you except for Clemson, Miami, and Notre Dame? And Florida's at home, so I'm not as scared of Florida when you're not going to the swamp, potentially playing them after they fired Billy Napier.
Well, I look at that five-game stretch, October the 5th through November the 9th. You do have Clemson, Duke, Miami, North Carolina, and Notre Dame. I do think that everything before that is going to be pretty simple and easy. I mean, they open up the season on the 24th versus Georgia Tech. Then they come back, Boston College, and they're off. They have Memphis. I mean, nothing there that's going to shock you or be really anything. The thing that I look at, though, Joe, is that five-week stretch can be a little bit, quote-unquote, ACC brutal. Not SEC brutal, ACC brutal. Clemson, you're off. Then you got back-to-back road games, Duke and at Miami. I think that Miami game is going to be a massive deal. North Carolina and then at Notre Dame. Joe, there's two there. Like, there's two easy ones there. You mean to tell me that there's not anywhere else in the schedule that they could slip up? Because here's what I
don't think so. Well, I really don't think so.
DJU's done it before, though. I mean, Joe, that was literally what we thought about him at Clemson. And quite honestly, when you're playing against Washington a year ago, Joe, he's below 50%. And we're talking, hold on, we're talking about a defense that wasn't that good in the secondary. And he's missing dudes that are wide ass open. So the last time that we saw him in real prime time, what happened? Okay.
He didn't play that great against Washington. That was probably the last.
Joe, he was below 50%. And so now I start asking.
It was a raining game, though, was that not?
Okay. Name any other game he's going to be around 55 to 56%. So, like, we're talking about a margin which is just barely above 50 or below 50. There's no in between.
At the same time, though, the only thing that I will give him a little bit of grace. So, yeah, the Oregon game, he played terrible. He was 19 for 35.
Every time, and you were looking this up because I asked you, Joe, every time that he's in prime time, like, the first big time win that he has will be his first.
He had two picks against Washington. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That was to my point, very quickly. That was to my point about him before we kind of got in this back and forth very quickly. We're talking about a secondary, Joe, that was in the 110s. That against him miraculously looked really good. Now, through the playoff, they got into the hundreds, into the round. I think 98th is where Washington finished. But legitimately, he swung picks against a secondary that was that bad all year.
It was bad weather, so I give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. But yeah, you're right. This does come down to the fact that oftentimes when he does have difficult matchups where he needs to step up to the plate and he needs to have a big performance, he's done quite literally the opposite. He hasn't even played average for the most part. He has played really, really poorly. Like, I think back to the Notre Dame game from 2 years ago when Clemson played Notre Dame, and that was the epitome of who he is as a player. He played horribly in that game. That Cade Klubnik came in, and then everybody was starting to say, like, maybe Cade Klubnik could be the guy, and then eventually pushes him out the door. I understand the skepticism, but at the same time, though, the rest of the roster is so good. Are we really going to say that he's that bad? I don't think he's that bad to imply that he would completely take them out of a game against Boston College. I think that he is not strong enough of a guy to lean on against a team like Miami and a team like Notre Dame, who you have to travel to for both those. Miami's not exactly a scary home game. Or not a home opportunity.
At night it will be, because that game's going to be in prime time.
Okay, sure. Yes. It's still not like an on-campus situation. You're defending
Notre Dame.
No. I'm in Miami. I'm talking about Notre Dame.
I'm like, shit.
Of course Notre
Dame. Yeah, I thought you were shitting on Notre Dame. I'm like, hold on now.
Miami is a very unique situation, so that's not exactly like a crazy upper echelon hard game to travel to. But what I'm getting at here is, outside of those two games, maybe Clemson's the one that they do lose. And we just spent 20 minutes on the last show talking about why we're not completely all bought in on Clemson, and we don't know if some of their deficiencies are going to be enough for them.
You've gotten to my point. Joe, can they beat Clemson?
That's what the season comes all the way down to. I think that's the better way to frame this is, can DJU play well enough against that defense to beat Clemson and for them to get to a 10-2 record and then to go to the ACC championship? That's a huge question mark.
Well, and against his old team and on with a coach that knows him better than anybody. Right. I mean, like, there is nobody on this planet as a quarterback likes, dislikes, everything, that knows more about that kid than Dabo does. So you do have to ask the question. Oh, by the way, Joe, you know what's going to be happening all week? DJU faces his old school, Christian Dabo, who can he finally get back over that hump? The whole storyline is going to be built up massively that week for that game because both are more than likely going to be undefeated at that exact moment. Well, we say that about Clemson, but who knows? Right. I look at that situation. I mean, they're not beating Georgia, so clearly they're not going to be undefeated. But there just comes a point for me that I say DJ has struggled in primetime, whether Florida State fans like it or not. And look, it's shitty, Joe, because we're spending 20 minutes on this, okay? We're not talking enough, or I am not talking enough about the pieces that they have around that can get them there.
We tend to fail at doing this sometimes.
But hold on one moment. To finish that out, though, when you're at that position, Joe, it doesn't matter sometimes. You know, like, we're going to talk about Les Miles in a minute. Mm-hmm. I watched a decade's worth of legitimate defensive talent. Electric, Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, all these dudes come from LSU defensively. And when you have subpar quarterback play, it doesn't matter what I'm talking about everything else in. It doesn't, because if you're going to be that bad there, it's a big deal. But let's talk about their other pieces, though, what you were mentioning.
Right. To the main guys that stand out, Patrick Payton, I mentioned earlier, Marvin Jones Jr., I mentioned earlier. I think that their offensive line, which was inconsistent last year, it wasn't bad. I wouldn't put it in the lower tier of offensive lines in the country. I'm not going to sit here and criticize them, but they were a little inconsistent.
They had big troubles down the stretch, even with Jordan Travis.
I think that with the guys that they're bringing back and they're returning and some of the portal additions that they had, and in particular that they added, oh my God, the one kid's name is escaping, TJ Ferguson, the kid from Alabama, he's projected to start. I really like the way that their offensive line looks. And then one thing that really stood out when we broke down their spring game, which the Florida State fans didn't like our analysis of it, I love their running back room. Their running back room looked stellar. And they were many different kids that were getting the ball, that were making huge splash plays. Roydell Williams is going to lead that group. And maybe you don't replace Trey Benson with one guy and his production singularly, but instead you've got a really good collection of dudes that you can turn to do different things in different situations. It feels like that's the case. Maybe that's something that can make up for the lack of confidence that you could have in DJU.
You do have new receivers. So I'm not trying to bring this back to DJU. I'll get it to defense in just a second. Joe, you're replacing two draft picks. Two guys that are Johnny Wilson got drafted.
He did. He got drafted by the Bucks. Eagles. Eagles. He got drafted by the Eagles.
Well, of course he did. Okay? The stupid Eagles. The bottom line is, it's not like they're not replacing a shitload of talent, too. Now, I do think that they've gotten, you know, they're kind of reloading instead of rebuilding, right? Like, I don't think that they're rebuilding on anything. I just think they're reloading. I get what you're saying about getting Ferguson in, coming in the offensive line. Alex Adams has been a guy there that a lot of people have loved at Florida State. I want to see something out of this wide receiver room too, because, Joe, it's a lot of production to get away from, all right? But defensively, Joe, I don't see a lot of holes, man. I really don't. And I think that something that people don't realize about what Norvell has done there, Joe, they have put defensive dudes like – they have developed. They have evaluated well. Joe, there's something serious defensively. And them not having to play LSU in week one, what does it do? They have a couple of weeks. Joe, they have 4 or 5 weeks to figure this out. So
That's a really good point, by the way. I think that – and that was a huge win that they beat LSU last year. Quick reminder of that. They don't have a huge hurdle to get through in week one, Haynes King.
That's the hurdle. Haynes King.
it allows them to kind of figure out, okay, what can we do and what works best for us? This is going to be a really different offense than the one that you ran with Jordan Travis that was there for multiple years and was a multi-year starter. You're going to have to figure out. And I think to DJU's defense slightly, where he was at his best, I think, was when he was called upon to play more in a play action type of a role. And they were running Damian Martinez as much as they were at Oregon State. If they can work that in and make that the priority, move the pocket, let him throw on the run, let him be the big athlete that he is. When you ask him to drop back and sit there and make complex decisions, that's where I think, and I'm not trying to call him dumb before anyone tries to pull, like, you know, get pissed at me for phrasing it that way. But some guys just don't have that natural, easy decision-making. They just don't.
If he had decision-making, he would have all the tools of being a first-round dude.
That's what's held him back. He has all the physical traits. I mean, he's built like a first-rounder.
So, you
brought up the defense, by the way. I want to say, I feel like we never give credit to Adam Fuller for how good of a DC he is taking over this defense.
Well, so, yeah, you know, the question I was going to pose to you, but I didn't want to get too far in the weeds. Just my last point on this one. I don't know if Fuller doesn't start getting some head coaching looks.
I mean, wouldn't surprise me. They were unbelievably good last year. No one talked about how good the defense was.
Well, are we starting to find the guy that nobody's talking about? And could, you know, when somebody Arkansas fires their head coach, and this guy had a burger or a McDonald's burger on his way through Arkansas. So that's the connection with him in Arkansas, is he's been to a McDonald's in Arkansas. I just do wonder, okay, that defensive staff has been something serious. I'm not saying it's who's your boy at Oklahoma? Brent Venables type Brent stuff, Venables. But yeah. It's getting up there.
Fuller played linebacker at Sacred Heart.
Dude, can I tell you something? Speaking of Sacred Heart, can I tell you something wild? Tonight on my LSU show, I have to talk about a kid that pitched at Mount St. Mary.
That's hilarious.
That Where are these religious happy. Schools finding these kids? I think they're throwing holy water on them. You know? So maybe they need to throw some holy water on Marcus Freeman.
What? What was that side comment?
Oh, just to get a rise out of you. All right, Joe, I want to get to this. But Cody in the chat sent in a super chat, so I'm going to read it. Joe, there's some other news that happened today. Les Miles.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Dude, LSU, over 37 vacated wins because of the Vidal Alexander situation with Our Lady of the Lake. Cody asked here, and it's about the Hall of Fame, that he doesn't qualify and all that stuff too. Cody says, thoughts on Les Miles suing LSU because of the vacated wins to not be eligible for the Hall of Fame?
I got to be honest, and I did make sure I was caught up on this. What am I missing here before I put my foot in my mouth? Because I know this is a very complex situation, and what was referenced in what I had read was talking about how his dismissal was an indirect punishment for what was happening with the basketball program. And it was a booster that was related but not related, somebody that he didn't have direct interaction with, and it was, some think it was unjust, some think that it was best for him to be out the door because they were slowing down and not really as good as they had been, and he wasn't really adapting. The vacated wins thing, though, does seem like an overstep. Like, it seems like a bit of an overreaction. I feel like this was a circumstance where they were just looking for a good reason to fire him because they weren't that great in his final couple of years. Am I off base there?
A little bit. Let's run through it. Okay.
Okay.
So LSU loses. I could go all the way back to 2011. Okay, but I'm not going to do that.
I don't need to do that.
That's
for AYS for right. afterwards.
Basically, in a nutshell, he promised that he was going to change offensively, and he didn't. And he started getting beat. He got fired. Ed Orgeron comes in as the interim. During that, okay, he obviously had a massive buyout, which in his clause, he needed to go look for another job. He didn't want to. He just wanted to kind of ride off on the sunset, but LSU didn't want to pay all that money. He goes to Kansas, okay? And there's a story. So he goes through a couple of years at Kansas. There's a story right. that came out that about Sharon Lewis suing yes. LSU. She puts all this in there. And based off an allegation, they fire Les in the AD. Well, about a month ago, the Sharon Lewis case in federal court was not only – described as baseless and unfactual, okay, and that had no merit. They fired Les over things that were alleged on the Sharon Lewis case, which then LSU felt like that they had to act by vacating wins because the Will Wade thing had happened. Pat Forty was, tweeting about it, so they felt a lot of pressure. A lot of crazy shit was going on. LSU got investigated for lack of institutional control. LSU saved themselves by putting all of this level one recruiting violation on Les. In all honesty, things were released about Les in a sexual nature with college with students. Kansas.
Yeah, that was.
And
yeah.
So LSU truly, they will say that, well, it's the Vidal Alexander, the Our Lady of the Lake, and all that. It's because of the pressure of the sexual improprieties and the Sharon Lewis case stuff. They basically, he's a sacrificial lamb, and they needed to cut his legs out from under him so that they look better. The bottom line in here is very simple for me. Give him his wins back. Give him his wins back. And look, I'm going to say this tonight, so I'm not going to go into too much depth here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be petty. And Joe, don't be petty. I know what they're trying to do, and I think he's got a case here. I really do. Because the truth was, two federal courts showed that he had no barring on anything that's happened. The only thing that really is still out there with Les is him and students. Which, by the way, is alleged. And I will say this before I kick it over to you. Joe Paterno is still in the College Football Hall of Fame. And we know what he covered up.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to bring this up tonight, too. So, later. So, we're talking about him. I'm not saying that he's guilty or innocent of anything with students. But what I do know is a federal court found him innocent of things twice. So, let's start. And by the way, he is LSU's most accomplished coach ever. Not Nick, nobody. So you cannot tell the story of the 2010s and early and late 2000s without Les Miles. That was college football for 15 years. By the way, LSU's second behind Alabama in national titles. Les Miles is a big deal to that over the last 20 years.
The only thing with this, and you bring up a good point about Paterno. So Paterno's – actually, I don't want to defend him. I'm not going to do that.
You can't.
Yeah, right. He was already – I wasn't going to defend him. He was already in the College Football Hall of Fame, and they're not exactly supposed to be a judge in a complex, messed up, difficult, horrible thing that he was in. And you're right. We should really reconsider that. It's a very terrible, terrible thing that happened that he is accused of covering up.
And knowing of.
And here with Les Miles, though, he gets the wins back. I just don't know if that's enough for him to get into the
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Here's the only way that I think I can frame it. It's really hard to have a take on a guy when there's a lot of multiple things that he's been indirectly connected to, accused, and found not guilty of.
on the
field. On the field, yes, his accomplishments are some of the greatest of any head coach. It sucks that he got lazy at the end with his on-field decision making. So we can't, you know, he deserves to be faulted for that. All I'm saying though is a lot of off the field stuff, and I just don't know if it's a simple yes or no answer to him getting his wins back, which is why this is going to court. He's trying to get his wins back, and we're going to find out how legit any of this stuff was.
If you want to see some real action, go in there tonight, and I start talking about this shit, okay? See what's going to happen with how they're going to react to what I'm saying. And it's not going to – but I'm – you know what, Joe? I am for what is right and what is real. And what is real here is, if you're just looking at him on the field, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry. LSU fans can hate that. Oh, you hate him because he didn't innovate. You hate him because of this. But let me ask you a question. What's the difference between him and Mack Brown?
You're talking about his on-field performance?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Well, Les Miles has accomplished more.
Okay, well, I thought you would have gone the other way with that.
If Mack just coached for longer, that's it.
Okay, we're on the same wavelength here. You going to tell me that Mack Brown, who's in the College Football Hall of Fame, is more accomplished than Les Miles?
He's not. I mean, am I misremembering? Where did he win a national title?
Yeah, he won one at Texas, and then he lost one exactly like Les. Lost one to Alabama. Okay. Then, you know, leaves the downturn. Okay. They both have a downturn at two massive programs. Mack goes back to North Carolina. Les goes to Kansas. By the way, a lot of the dudes that we talked about in our Kansas deep dive, Joe, are Les recruits. Jalen Daniels being the number one of them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the turnaround, you can talk shit about Les. He recruited well, and just going to throw this out there. You're talking about a lot of dudes on a rebuild from Lance Leipold at Kansas. So, Les is a lot of things. Joe, he's quirky. He said some racist shit about us Italians one time. I tweeted it today about
Columbus Day. What did he say?
It's Columbus Day. It's not St. Patty's Day like other days, which he's taking a shot at because he grew up around a lot of Italians. Okay. And I'm just going to tell you, Louisiana has a shitload of Italians. A shitload of Italians that live here. I mean, three of the big media people here are Italians. That's why everybody has a podcast, okay? Because everybody likes to talk. So the bottom line is, I am very passionate about Les. I know everything that he did. Everything that he did, okay?
I'm not close enough to the situation for me to give as much of a verdict, I think, as you could on this.
Well, I lived it. Okay, so when I look at him and say, I think he's got a case, I think he's a Hall of Famer, I am going to get tattooed tonight, Bucko. Okay, tattooed tonight. They hate his guts. And it's why they fully believe that he shouldn't be in there because of how it ended. But if you look at it from a totality, Joe, you literally have Joe Paterno still in there when he did all of that in the cover-ups. Like, that's not...
Right. I mean, that's a very good okay thing to bring up with that.
So, and by the way, with all of that being said, Mike Leach isn't qualified to get in.
Which, that one's the worst one. I feel like that the whole, I don't understand why there has to be a qualification for winning percentage. I don't think that's very fair because there's a lot of coaches who innovated the game. Mike Leach is the reason why the game is played the way that it is today.
I feel like
Mike Leach should be in
for a lot of other coaches, like a lot of coaches that were at Army or Navy, and they had like four games, and they'd be 2-2. But when they're Western Athletic Naval Base Conference, whatever they were calling it then, so I think it's for that. But there's got to be different rules. Like, Mike Leach is a first, let me not say first ballot, even though I think he could be. He is a first ballot dude in my heart.
And again, especially for the way that he's changed the game. I don't know enough of, I can't think of any former coach that's Joe, in the high, that is the college less impactful.
The school that I went to, the offense that I committed to in going into Southeastern was an air raid. By the way, Hal Mumme was the lead coach then, who was his offensive coordinator and Kentucky, Mike Leach. It's where this all, it's what I committed to. I have a special place in my heart for Mike Leach. Very special. I just look at the both of them and say, you could take and vacate all of those wins, okay, from Les. It don't mean shit. Joe, by the way, brought Oklahoma back to relevance. Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Back to relevance. Gundy was on his staff. What's Gundy done in that rebuild before Les goes to, okay, LSU? Joe, Nick Saban is the reason that LSU's got the spark plug and back to national relevance that has been. Les Miles, to his credit, right, wrong, or indifferent, sustained it. So, like, we can talk all this shit that we want about him. LSU can fans can get pissed off all they want to, but at some point, facts are facts.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I don't.
All right, I kind of went on a little rant, a pre-rant.
Justified. So we warm up for later.
I guess. There are some LSU guys in here. Mike T says it's not quite the same thing, but it's. Oh, I thought he was. Never mind. I thought he was talking about Les. Elk says if Les Miles get in, Mike Leach should get in. Well, Elks, that's not fair because he beat your team in a national title. So there comes a place where, yeah, LSU's first or Les Miles' national title in 2007 was against Ohio State.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with the comment that he threw up on the screen?
Because the screen? Mike Leach is not as accomplished as Les.
He's
not even remotely close.
He's obviously not because he hasn't won a national title, but Mike Leach coached primarily. He never had like an A-plus job. But again, if we're talking from the fact of impact on the game of football and changing the game of football, I agree with Elks. I think that Mike Leach belongs in the
Oh, no, I'm not saying
he doesn't. I just said he did. Les Miles.
I just said that Mike Leach did. I'm not. Stop. Stop that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you can't look at Les at LSU all those years and say he's not more accomplished, regardless of what schools they're at. There's just no way. I mean, Joe, you're talking about the biggest.
I don't think the argument's that he's that Leach is more accomplished.
No, I get
it's what it's what Elks is saying here is that he has done more to change the game. He has done more for the current version of college football than anybody.
Fair. Y'all gonna get me off my wagon with Les talk tonight, man. I'm just telling you. Conrad says can't get in the College Football Hall of Fame without his wins. Yeah, I mean he can't. I mean, Joe, what are your thoughts on vacated wins?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, do you? I think it's the dumbest thing of all time.
I've never really understood taking away wins.
Like, let's not act like they didn't happen.
Unless there's found proven cheating after a long investigation, maybe. Like, maybe. But I feel like it's one of the most arbitrary things. We can't take away history. Are we going to
do that to Harbaugh with Connor Stallions?
I don't know. But I would hope that they don't, but you're right. Taking away history is silly. We watch the games, we saw the games, we know that the games happened. Just because you strike them from the record book doesn't mean that they don't exist, that those performances don't exist.
It's so stupid. And you know what's even worse? That the NCAA thinks it's some form of punishment or shame. Okay, cool.
It's because they know that's they can't outwardly fine someone, so it's the only thing that they know that they can do.
Well, it's an embarrassment to the school, but an easy Google search these days can find out, hey, how many wins has LSU vacated in football?
Right.
Okay, like it's not whatever, dude. Like whatever. The bottom line becomes, okay, like y'all all think that the NCAA is dumb anyway. You want to disband it. But, Joe, we're literally living through. So, for example, Les Miles has vacated wins to the NCAA, right? literally the conference commissioner is fighting to disband the NCAA.
Yes.
Like how far we've come in all of this. By the way, Ed Orgeron's deal, Ed Orgeron's level one violation. Okay. We have NIL now. It was literally NIL, the hospital and the kid that got paid. NIL. I mean, so you're going to, that's what we're keeping him out for.
It's a good point. I don't have anything else to say on this. I don't disagree with you.
I know. All right. You want to get, we got like 4 minutes. You want to get to Deion very quickly?
I'd rather get to the Big 12 thing. I don't really care about the Deion thing. I think the Deion thing's stupid. I've said this before, and I'm going to keep reiterating it. I don't care about talking about Colorado football. I'm done talking about Colorado football.
Well, let's just get to
win some football games, and we'll talk about it. But can we talk about the Big 12?
Well, we can get to it tomorrow or something.
Okay.
Or Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Joe, there's been a report that conferences like the ACC and Big 12, more notably, mm-hmm. are looking to change their name. And I'm like, wait, change your name? No. Well, they're looking to get sponsorships and a potential name change and for an investor to buy into the conference, correct?
Okay, a couple different things. So on Friday, it was reported on, at the end of the week last week, it was reported on that the Big 12 was pursuing potentially looking into private equity, investing into the conference.
Yeah, the All-State 12.
But these are two different things, though. It was also reported on that the Conference USA and the Big 12 were considering selling the naming rights to their conference. So like what we do at stadiums where you might have
like the Caesars Superdome.
Right. It might just be called the Superdome, and then eventually you throw that title sponsor of a corporate entity that is now the leading name and has to be brought up and advertised, and the branding is everywhere and includes the logo so that it is synonymous with a team that people root for. So now what is being potentially looked into, which I think is going to happen. I think that this is going to come to fruition. It wouldn't get reported on if there wasn't a lot of work being done here.
Coming.
Yeah. The All-State, I think just based on the articles, if you read them, that there is a conversation going on right now that All-State would invest isn't the right word. They would sponsor the Big 12 and it would go and change to the All-State 12 conference. Ross Dellinger and on the College Football Inquirer, which I produced, they talked about it a little bit today. And the potential investment is a 10-year deal for $500 million, which would be $50 million per year. Not that much money per school, but still an influx of cash for these teams that now need it for the fact that they have to pay their athletes. All it comes down to, Blake, is everything's becoming more corporate. Everything's becoming more and more corporate and more advertised because there needs to be more money for some of these teams that can't afford to pay their athletes if they want to stay competitive.
The NFL literally does this.
The NFL isn't called Amazon NFL.
No,
Amazon football. That's the equivalent of it. The NFL doesn't do this.
Can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the truth? I don't think they're going to do the All-State 12. I think
that's the whole point. Here's the other thing too. You can't do All-State Big 12 because if you do All-State Big 12, everyone's going to shorten it and only say Big 12. No one's going to say All-State.
No, but you either way you do it, Joe, we're going to call them the Big 12 anyway.
It's going to get confusing. We're going to have to call them the All-State 12. This is the dumbest part, by the way.
Apparently, I'm not calling them that.
Apparently, and I implore everyone to read these articles, apparently the big isn't the word that they want to keep. They want to keep the 12. Meanwhile, there's, 16 teams in the conference? That's the stupidest part about this, is that they take on the name of a brand and then a number that isn't even relevant to the conference.
I just feel like some of this is horseshit. This is what I think they're going to do. Okay. I feel like they're going to go Big 12 presented by.
There's less money to be given if that happens.
There's no way that they can call it. Can we call them the Big 12? We're going to call them the Big 12 on this show.
I'm calling them the All-State 12, man. That's the absurdity of college football. That's how this works.
I'm not calling him that. It's just not going to happen.
Conference USA, I think Globe Life was the one that Globe Life.
You know what, though? The SEC has the the SEC has the chance to do the funniest thing ever.
What, the Buc-ee's SEC?
No, I'm just talking about, like, what if the SEC bought the naming rights for the Big 12?
I don't think they got that kind of bread to just throw around like that. So the SEC one and SEC two.
You got $500 million
to waste on that? To waste on that?
Shit, yeah.
I don't think they're that petty.
Greg Sankey's that petty. Okay.
I will say this, though. It does bring up an interesting conversation is, do we see this happen to all of the conferences? Like, the Big 12 and the SEC probably don't need to do this. They have more than enough money.
I mean, $500 million is $500 million.
Yeah, that's the point.
A half a billion dollars is a half a billion dollars, no matter how you.
To then be split up, it's 50 per year.
It doesn't matter what the schools are making.
Yeah, it does.
Joe, if the conference is going to be making 500 milli, and then the schools are getting 50 to divide amongst themselves, that's the most Italian shit ever.
Wait, but 50 million divided amongst all of the teams. Most of that isn't dripping onto the conference. Like, I'm sure that they would make some money off of it.
Well, you said 500 million split
over 10 years.
Given to the SEC. Yeah. Oh, over 10 years. Okay. Still 500 million? Who you think you kidnapped? Chelsea Clinton?
This is why your doubt of saying that it's not going to be the All-State 12. It is going to be the All-State 12.
I ain't
throw around that kind of bread. It's going to convince people.
I'm just going to tell you, I am not calling it that. It's just not going to happen.
Tough. We're going to be really confused on this show when I'm saying All-State 12 and you're saying Big 12.
No, I'll know what idiocy that you're trying to call. I'll know the stupidity, but can we be purist here? Can we call it the Big 12 presented by whatever the fuck?
Is that really purity, though? Is that really the purest form of I would argue it's the most absurd that we're going out of our way to acknowledge the name change in order to still name the sponsor.
Fuck Allstate. All right. We'll see y'all soon. Tomorrow to make up for yesterday, or what are we doing here? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
We gotta go Wednesday. Tomorrow's a little packed for me. We'll be back on Wednesday.
We'll see y'all.
It's June. We'll be okay.
Yeah, true. All right. We'll see y'all Wednesday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.